My name is Matt Gonzalez. Welcome to my podcast, One Question with Matt G. My whole life I've been very curious, asking who, what, when, why, how. And that's what's brought me here to you. Every single week I'm going to have a special guest on and I'm going to ask them one question. What question am I going to ask them this week? Well, you'll just have to find out on One Question with Matt G. Today on One Question, my guest is someone I have been asking forever and ever and ever to be on the show. He's a very busy man. He's a father. He's a director of operations. He wears a lot of caps. He's a neighborhood patrol. You name it, he does it. But Blake Vernum, welcome to the show.
Hello, Matt. Thank you. Neighborhood patrol. I didn't think you would throw that in there, but it is important to patrol such a thing.
Hey, I respect anyone that cares about their community and cares about safety as much as you. That's perfect. But you're keeping the mean streets of Hartford, Connecticut clean. And yeah. I know everyone really appreciates it. I heard you might be getting the key to the city. That might just be a rumor. I don't know.
No, yeah, we're working on getting that scheduled, but thank you so much for having me. I know that we've gone back and forth on scheduling this. I'm over the moon to be on the podcast. I love listening to these episodes. It's very cool to be on.
Well, Blake, you and I have known each other for a very long time, and you're one of my favorite people to spend time with, so I'm very excited about this episode. So, Blake, I have one question for you.
Okay.
What is the power of moments?
It's a great question. The power of moments. I think in leadership, it's all about how you react to these moments. And these moments could be a million things, right? They could be moments of joy. They could be moments of loss. And being an in-tuned leader who can be present in those moments, react accordingly, give their people what they need is so important. If you look back and think about your own career or a team that you've been on or whatever, these moments are the things that stand out to you, right? And I think something that I've always, or I hope I've always been able to do is read the room, right? So that I can react to the moment in the way that I should. And I'm not perfect, right? Many leaders are not. We don't always do a great job of that. Some of my biggest leadership probably regrets have been mishandling of moments or doing the opposite of what I really should have been doing. Being there for your people, being situationally aware of what the moment calls for you.
Yeah. Right?
And as a leader in sales, right, that could be obviously a celebratory thing and making sure that, hey, this is something that someone's been working on for so long and this means so much to them. I can't let that moment go unnoticed, right? I need to make sure that they see that I see them and I appreciate them. But more so, too, is the moments of hardship or where we need to maybe edit or effectively change what we're doing. And how do we choose to act in that moment, right? Are we the hard leader? Are we the person who is going to use this moment as a situation to make an example of someone, right? Or which would be the wrong moment, probably. Or is this a moment to say, hey, like, come with me on this journey. Let's use this as a learning lesson and how can we get better?
Yeah, and just thinking as you're talking, I think this is one of the biggest differences between a leader and a manager. Yeah. And I also, what I love about this topic so much is it's not just about leadership. The power of moments, you and I were talking about this earlier, it applies to friendship. It applies to relationships of all kinds. It could be your spouse. It could be your kids. It could be your parents. It could be anyone, right? And I think the people with the best character are able to use those moments, right? And it is hard to be present. I don't know if it's harder now than ever before. I think it is, but it is hard to be present. But man, I think we can all think of lots of examples of those moments in our own lives when we're like, man, I'm so glad that person was there or took the second to be like, are you okay? Or, hey, we're not okay. You're not seeing things clearly. Right. So where do you start? Like, where do you start as someone on how to know what to do in those moments? Cause I think that might be the easy part. And it's still not easy, is just being aware enough of your surroundings to be like, huh, something's up with that person. There's a red flag there, and it could be a good red flag or a bad red flag, right? Or just a flag in general. There's something telling me there's something, you know, I always say it's just some sort of difference in behavior. It doesn't always have to be a negative difference in behavior, but there's something.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned the personal ones. I will say the past couple of years, like you mentioned, I had my first daughter this year, my first child, buying a home, right? Like just all the things as like a young professional that I've gotten to do over the past few years. It is so important to appreciate those moments and be present in them for your own life.
Yeah.
Right. Just to, you know, whether it's you're about to walk down the aisle and you're getting married, just to like soak that in. Or you're in the hospital room and your wife's giving birth, just to kind of have that like, wow, this is one of those right now. And that's obviously more about how you react to moments in your life, not so much how you react to people's and their moments, but how do you start, right, to make sure that you pick up on them, especially in a world where it's busy, right? You're on a meeting and your Teams links are pinging, your cell phone is ringing, and you're 5 minutes past due to get to the next meeting that you're supposed to be in as well. I think it's having the ability to slow down, right? And not be so conscious of the next thing that is supposed to come out of your mouth or the thing you think you want to get accomplished, right? Like sometimes the best agenda for a meeting or for a conversation, right? Yeah, like less work, just a conversation, is not to have an agenda. Not to go in and prescribe, like, this is what I want to get accomplished with Matt today. Or when, I have to make these points. These are the things I want to get off my chest. But more so to really listen to how people are talking. What's their body language? What's their cadence? What vibe or aura are you getting from them? Because that can allow you to know how to respond both in what you say and how you say it.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes you really slowing down. And that's really hard. If we're talking leadership, that's probably one of the hardest things, I think, for new leaders. Something I definitely struggled with. It was like I was so ready to say what I wanted to say because that's what I thought I was supposed to say, where I would miss the moment.
There's also a big bias to take action really quickly and have urgency in leadership. And some people are just predisposed to that. I mean, that's the thing my wonderful wife is constantly telling me, is like, you got to slow down. A lot of type A personalities, your brain just works so quick and you make decisions so quick. And that can be a really great thing. That can be a strength, but strengths and weaknesses are very related. And it can also be a thing where if you're trying to solve, trying to move it on to what you were worried about or wanted to do, you're going to miss that moment altogether. And that can be a really devastating thing. That can really tear apart trust. That can really have someone not feel you're genuine or really care about them. So yeah, you couldn't be more right. There's just so much there.
Yeah. I also like to remind myself and some people is that you have two ears and one mouth for probably a reason. Ooh. Oh, that's right, man.
Yeah. That's really good. I have heard that before, but I've not heard it in a long time. I think I normally hear it from like my grandma used to say that, but I'm glad to hear it from you right now, Blake.
Yeah. I think when I was a kid, my mom would say that to me, like right as we were like walking into church or something, as a reminder to not talk, because so many of us are very, especially at Insight Global, we're very outgoing people, right? We want to, yes, have solutions, or we want to be active, but sometimes you shouldn't be, right? Sometimes you need to, I guess, sit back. One of my favorite things to say to my team when we're at a crossroads, something needs to be figured out, is I love to just say, hey, I don't have a solution right now. There's not going to be any quick fix to what's going on in the moment, right? So let's just kind of like take that off the table. Maybe let's not try to solve this problem, but let's talk about it, right? Yeah. I still want to have the conversation. I just don't want to tell you what you should do when I don't know what's going on right now.
Yeah. So it's definitely more than just listening. So when you're listening, what are you listening for? Right. Because I think that's okay. So hard part, being aware enough, be present enough. Okay. Second part, I'm going to listen. But then it's, you know, what we're talking about is the power. Right. And so the power isn't the power. It's all of it combined, but the power in a way is that reaction.
Yep. Well, I think something we haven't addressed yet is the backbone of almost all of this.
Okay.
Is that we need to have really strong relationships with the people in our lives. And the people that these moments are going to be impactful for are people that you need to know at a deep level. You know, of course, your family, but we're talking about teams a lot here, and I guess kind of in the nature of our relationship. And if you don't know the people that you have to impact in these moments, you're going to navigate it wrong because you don't know what that person may need from you.
Or how they react or their ticks. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I've had the luxury in Hartford to manage lots of account managers, and they are all similar, but none the same, right? They are all wired differently. And my relationship with each of them is very different. But I think what has allowed for me to read the moments correctly is that we all have that relationship. We all have something different, and they know me, and they know what my intentions are, and I know them, and I know what they truly care about. So that allows me to handle the moment with like this compassion or this empathy or this background of just who we are. 'Cause there are times in those moments where, we do have to eventually kind of come up with some solutions, and the solutions are not always easy. And sometimes it's like, I need that equity with this person to like navigate the moment.
Yeah. That's the foundation. That's the backbone. As you said, you gotta have that.
Right.
Because it will be unique. It's not we don't have a quarterback arm wristband with all the plays on it.
No. And I think part of this too is that you might read the moments wrong. Maybe I'm jumping ahead a little here, but you can do this wrong as long as you're willing to go back and rehave that conversation, or like be a person to say like, hey, Matt, I got to tell you, I feel terrible about how that conversation went yesterday. Like, I still agree with what I said. Like, this is what we need to get accomplished. And maybe you do need to make improvements here, but I just care so much about you. And that came across in a way that I don't love. And I want to make sure that we're good. Right. Yeah. And let's have that, because what I think in these moments,
I see that being the biggest mistake a lot of leaders make, is it's a singular moment.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it shouldn't be, and it almost never should be, because you do have to clarify that everyone's aligned, everyone's good. It takes certain people longer to process things. Other people may have interpreted things wrong. Communication is really hard. And so, yeah, you're 1,000% right. You might immediately have regrets and be like, I could have handled that better. Or you might have been like, that's great. That went amazing. I crushed that. That person's like going to be better for it. Or no, I care about them. Or no, I celebrated them. And when you go back and look at it, or if you looked at it from their perspective, they can be like, that didn't go good. That was insincere, or I didn't like that. I'll share a story. This was a long, long time ago. I was a sales manager, so this had to be, you know, 15 years ago. And I had a senior account manager who had previously been a sales manager. transfer across country, was working for me. And my mindset was, well, this person has done my job. This person's a senior. This person knows what they're doing. I just need to give them all the autonomy in the world. And so we had a moment where she said to me one day, she said, hey, do you want to go over my sales report with me? And I said, absolutely not. I don't need to do that. You're good. I trust you. Like, you know what you're doing. And thank goodness the next day she said, hey, I didn't like that. And in my mind, I'm like, I am praising you. I am telling you, great job. I trust you. And she goes, I want validation that like my hard work matters. I want feedback. I want to know what I'm doing that's good, what's not good. That time together matters to me. And it did bother me a lot that you were so flippant that we don't need to spend that time together. And I was like, wow, I totally misread that situation. Then it reversed, became a moment for me, right? Where I'm like, great, I'm so sorry. I did not think that at all. That was not my intention, but you are 1,000% right. And we can fix this. Okay. We can fix this really easy. And it really helped solidify our relationship going forward. Because to your point, I didn't know them that well. And I was just making assumptions that's how I would want to be treated. And it wasn't how they wanted to be treated at anything. They wanted feedback. They wanted active communication. And so now I knew that person better. And we were stronger for it because of it.
Yeah. Well said. I think that's part of it. I don't know exactly what book this is from, so if, I don't. But
we don't. What is I'm not gonna put cite we're not gonna your cite sources. Them. Don't worry.
Okay.
There's no bibliography at the end of the podcast.
I was gonna submit one post this, but I won't send that email now. Right. What are people's love languages? Right.
You know, and the book is called The Five Love Languages, by the way.
I was close. Love languages. Okay. But so, you know, kind of sounds funny in the terms of work, but actually not.
I have the work version right here on my bookcase over here. It's the Five Love Languages at work.
Oh, at work. Okay, yeah. Good. By the way, I very frequently tell the people on my team that I love them. I'm not sure how. Sometimes they're like, oh, okay, thank you for letting me know. I want my people to know I care about them. But
Words of affirmation. You're a words of affirmation guy.
Correct, right? And in that situation, right, what did that account manager need from you? Time spent, right? That was their love language maybe in that moment. So knowing the person in that way, how you can appreciate them or how you can handle those situations with them. Something I love to do, by the way, too, is when these moments occur, I really want to hammer them home or make people aware that I understand how important it was. Sometimes it's even simple as a text message later.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if someone did something great, right, at Insight Global, someone hits a milestone, a sales milestone, sending them a message just after you've given them their public praise to say, hey, Matt, just want to let you know, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
Right? It was so cool. So cool to see you do that today. Or, right, in a situation of like conflict or resolve, right, that's the, hey, I just wanted to check in and make sure we're good. That was a lot yesterday, but it has no effect of how I feel about you. And I do think that's something that is a learned skill as a leader, right? How do you give people feedback in those moments and then separate that from your relationship? Because it is a part of it.
Yeah. This is where it gets very, very, very complicated.
Those get really complicated, right? And you've given me a ton of feedback over our career, but I've never been confused about how you felt about me.
Yeah.
Right. And if you can do that with work, if you can do that with your family, if you can do that with your friends, like you can have conflict with people. That's fine, right? Healthy friction is a thing. But if they know how they feel, if they know how I feel about them, we should always be in an okay place.
Yeah.
Because that is a relationship that's built on respect, trust, right? And if you really respect someone, you really trust someone, if you really love someone, of course you can disagree with them. You don't always have to be perfectly on the same page. You don't have to yes me to death if you're in Hartford. And I'm not going to yes anyone else to death. I'm not going to always agree with them. And that's a good thing, right? Like that's a good, that can be a really powerful moment actually when we're not on the same page, but we are on the same field, right? Because we are all still running at the same thing. I think that's important too.
Yeah, that's a favorite book of mine that I haven't read in a while, but a lot of people have read it. You've read it. Culture Code, the Greg Popovich example, a Hall of Fame coach from the San Antonio Spurs. He would rip someone or give them really hard feedback or coaching, and 2 minutes later, he was joking with them on the court and being there for them with them. And that's something I've struggled with. I think a lot of people struggle with. You know, if you get frustrated with someone, right, and you're giving them feedback, which is hard. It's an emotional thing. Your heart rate goes up. It's not natural. It sucks. But it's also right. What you do when you care about someone. It's easy to maybe have a chip on your shoulder or a grudge towards that person, depending on how long you let it build up and what it was about. I even find myself sometimes doing this as a dad, but definitely as a leader. But that ability to get to a point where you have the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And it matters and you're serious and you're direct. But then a couple minutes later, you know, our relationship is back to normal, right? Because that's how we're going to move on. Doesn't mean that didn't matter. It does. I think that's what people think. They go, well, if I just revert back to how I care about this person as a human, then the weight of what happened doesn't matter. But I don't think that is the case, especially with what you talked about going back the next day and making sure everyone was on the same page.
Yeah. I think part of this that can be hard too, for some people, is I have the benefit of my team now that those 10 people are in my office. They sit with me. Like I get to see them. This gets so much more complicated when you think about larger organizations, remote work, and almost would force you to have to be even more intentional about it. Because, you know, if you're sitting across from me in the office, like you're going to pick up on the fun, the lightheartedness of it too. Like when we get back to that kind of normal cadence. But what if you're not on a call with that person again for a while? Or what if like you're never on one-on-one calls with them? It's always team settings. So ensuring that you have that follow-up and being really intentional about it, which a lot of leadership is the intentionality of the conversations you have, is really important.
I also, to your point about listening, I think sometimes certain people, I am guilty of this, can almost over talk in these situations. They fill awkward silences. They talk a lot. They want to maybe say the things that'll sometimes make the person feel better in the moment. And I think the important part of moments is to remember that the moments are what make memories. Yeah. And people don't forget memories, and words matter a lot. And so this goes back to your wonderful saying about you've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. My advice for people and what I've learned from huge mistakes is you have to be really careful about words in the moment. Cause emotions can take over, relationships can take over. And, I think everyone wants to make people feel better, even if you're giving them hard feedback, something they don't want to hear. But if you accidentally, you know, it goes back to the old compliment sandwich, right? Like I'm going to compliment you, then I'm going to give you feedback, criticize you, and then I'm going to compliment you. Very confusing for human beings, right?
Very.
And so words matter, and we all have to be very, as leaders especially, but as leaders, parents, friends, whatever, you got to be careful, because in those moments, those words will be etched in that person's memory, and they're really important that you choose them wisely. And so this is something I'm still working on, talking less. And it's not even big words sometimes. It could be small words but to the other person are big, 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 big words.
When you feel your heart beating in these like tough moments and you feel like that, it probably really is rooted in like fight or flight, right? If we want to go like very anthropologic on this, right?
Yeah.
It's fight or flight, and it's really valuable to breathe right? To slow down. And also, by the way, sometimes when you're like thinking of what I really want to say here, because I want to use my words carefully, but also the power of not talking, not even just listening, but like giving weight to this moment. And like, let's, I don't have to say something in your response. Maybe I just need to ponder on that, which I know is not our normal cadence to do. We want to react. But what that should allow you to do is make very thoughtful decisions. And I won't even say calculated, because in those moments, like, it's hard to sometimes make calculated decisions because there are a lot of emotions in it. We're talking about people we care about. We're talking about, you know, your wife. You're talking about, you know, a conversation with your sister, a conversation with a teammate at work. There is emotion in it. Right. So don't try to be too calculated. I don't think you need to do that either.
You got
to
be in the moment.
You got to follow your gut, but you have to understand that words matter. And especially if you're in leadership, right? Like the opinion of a leader matters. And sometimes in a leader, this is a saying for everybody. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you don't say, right? Or how you say it.
You're on fire with the sayings right now. On fire.
Yes. I read the book, the sayings book. I was, how many analogies could I crunch into this? I would be very remiss if I didn't say what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Has nothing to do with the conversation we're having, but people in Hartford either love when I say that or hate when I say that. So got to add that in there. But yeah, like, I don't know. You gotta settle down sometimes in these moments and not let the heat of the moment be the victor.
There you go. That's the maximum amount of analogies we're allowed to have on one question. You've hit the limit, Blake. This has been awesome. Yeah. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, man. I learned a lot. I think this is something you're really, really good at. So thank you so much for finally being on the show. I want to have you back. I'll start scheduling now so we can do it sometime in 2026. But thank you so, so, so much for being on the show, Blake.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it. I got 2.5 years to get some more analogies ready for you.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Have a great one. Bye.